gotta keep them separated.
Greetings, my Israelite brothers and sisters. Welcome to Word Study with Brother Hebert. This is part 5 of Separate and Segregated. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Separate and Segregated is found in the Word Studies menu. In part 4, we covered all the verses in Exodus through Joshua that showed why Yahweh our God commands us to be separate from the other races. We continue in 2 Samuel, but before that, an article by Bertrand Comparé. Like all the other nations, the Old Testament and the New each tell exactly the same story. There is as much Christianity in the Old Testament as in the New, but people whose religion is too shallow to make any study of it have always overlooked this both 2,000 years ago and again today. There is the same firm insistence upon the national message in the New Testament as in the Old, but again, shallow religion fails to see it. When Jesus Christ first came, they were not willing to receive him as Savior or Redeemer because they would not accept the whole message, but only the national half of it. The Pharisees of today's churches are just as wrong. While they now accept the half concerning personal salvation, they reject just as contemptuously the national half. And this error will be as disastrous as the other. When Jesus Christ returns, he will not come again as Savior of the individual. For that work he has completed, as he said upon the cross, it is finished. He is coming as King of a very real kingdom upon this earth, and it will not do to reject him again, to deny him his crown, and meet him only with a cross. But Calvary was not the first time the people have rejected our God as their King. Originally, as the prophet Samuel told them, Yahweh your God was your King, 1 Samuel 12:12. They were not like the other nations, but mostly remembered the word of God in Deuteronomy 14:2. You are an holy people unto Yahweh your God, and Yahweh has chosen you to be a peculiar people unto himself, above all the nations that are upon the earth. While they remembered to keep themselves separate from all the other races and nations, they had peace and prosperity, and they were, as God said, a peculiar treasure unto him above all other people. But when Samuel grew old and could no longer vigorously enforce the laws of God, instead of the people turning to God for the full restoration of the laws of his kingdom, they said to Samuel, "Make us a king, that we also may be like all the nations." God himself said of this, "They have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." This was the beginning of disaster. God warned the people of the evil ways of their human king, who would indeed rule them like all the nations. But they would not heed, as he warned them high taxes, bureaucracy, and unreasonable tyranny were their fate, like all the nations. Today, most of the churches are the loudest in shouting the satanic and communist doctrine that we also should be like all the nations. Open idolatry would not be a more direct repudiation of our God, whose commandments are the same in the New Testament as in the Old. In Leviticus 20:24-26, I am Yahweh your God, which have separated you from other people, that you should be mine. And in 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, the commandment is still the same. Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be you separate, says Yahweh, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says Yahweh Almighty. When we make ourselves like all other nations, we are both rejecting and defying God Himself. And the worst of all possible forms of this is to put ourselves under the rule of these pagan nations through the United Nations. To work with them at all, except upon our terms, is bad. But to work under them, for purposes determined by their majority vote, is always evil. It is despising and rejecting the very purpose for which God created us. The churches should be the first to warn its against this and to teach the gospel of our national law, our national organization into God's kingdom, our national destiny. Failure in this will not be pardoned. The warning is plain and always the same. In Jeremiah 50 verse 6, my people have been lost shepherds. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. And in Jeremiah 6:13-15, behold, the word of Yahweh is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it from the prophet even unto the priest. Everyone deals falsely. They have healed also the hurt of my people, but slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among that fall. At the time that I visit them they shall be cast down, says Yahweh. Old Testament? Yes. But listen now to Matthew 7:22-23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Our racial and national heritage is both a birthright and a duty. It is our duty to be strong and resolute, for God has told us, you are my battle axe and weapons of war. For with you will I break in pieces the nations, and with you will I destroy kingdoms. Had we been true to God's commandment, we would have broken the power of Red Russia while he was weak. We would not have caused China to go red, and the whole world would now be living in peace and freedom. But we allowed treacherous politicians and clergymen to talk liberalism and pacifism to us when our duty could then have been performed easily and safely. Today, we still face the same duty, but now what is the cost? Has their preaching been good? By their fruits you shall know them. It is our duty to possess and govern the heathen, and teach them God's laws. In Psalm 105:43-47 we read, And he brought forth his people with joy, and his chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the heathen. And in Psalm 18:34, You have made me the head of the heathen, a people whom I have not known shall serve me. But our clergymen have denounced this as colonialism and said that we must lower ourselves to equality with the cannibals, since we cannot raise them to our level. As a result, what has happened in Cuba, in China, in the Congo? Is this to the glory of God? Where is the influence of the missionaries now that the witch doctors reign supreme? Is it not time that we sent missionaries to the churches to bring them back to the Word of God? The white man gave Africa the only civilization it ever knew. When white intervention kept the warlords from gaining power, China had peace. We brought Cuba, the Philippines, Puerto Rico, and Panama the only sanitation, the only hospitals, the only education they ever had. Yet, we are now told that this was evil colonialism, and that we must now submit to being ruled by them, governed by the standards of Cuba and the Congo, because we should be like all the other nations, and they have the majority vote. For the last 3,300 years, every time we have tried to become like the other nations, it has reduced us to their level, with all the evils, poverty, misrule, and corruption that have plagued them. There is no peace, says my God, unto the wicked. We shall have no peace until we obey his command. Come out from among them, and be you separate, and touch not the unclean. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says Yahweh Almighty. Why ignore all the multitude of one nation verses? 2 Samuel 7:23. And what one nation in the earth is like your people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem a people and to make himself a name? Note the singular emphasis here, a people, and that redemption refers to this single people alone. It is Israel alone who are stated to be the people God went to redeem. Galatians 4:5 and Hebrews 9:15 confirm that the mediation of the new covenant was for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant. See also Titus 2:14 and Luke 2:38. To redeem something means that it must have belonged once before, and so redemption can only apply to Israel. Psalm 78:5. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and a law in Israel, which he commanded to our fathers. This is another scripture confirming many along this line. But where can we find any scriptures giving even a suggestion that the law and covenants were given to other races? Our fathers and the fathers are common New Testament expressions. So all these New Testament people being addressed must also be Israelites. Psalm 147, 19 and 20. He has showed his word unto Jacob, and his statutes unto Israel. He has not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, the other nations have not known them. This verse is both limiting and specific, and relates exclusively to Israel as a race. The churches don't believe the word. The word here is dabar, or the spoken word in the sense of a specific direction, charge, instruction, or covenant. This is a very clear statement, and note this spoken word is not given to the other races. This is not a popular concept or popular teaching, but it is confirmed in both testaments. Acts 10:36 says, "The word which God sent to the children of Yisrael." But if God declares, "He has not dealt so with any nation," we dare not question this, even if denominations ignore it. Israel is unique. The judgments are God's verdict or decree. The churches like to join what God has separated and decree what he has not decreed. 1 Kings 8:51. For they be your people, and your inheritance, which you brought forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that your eyes may be open unto the supplication of your servant, and unto the supplication of your people Yisrael, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto you. For you did separate them from among all the people of the earth, to be your inheritance, as you spake by the hand of Moses your servant, when you brought our fathers out of Egypt, O Yahweh Elohim. We are true Israel. We are Yahweh's people. We are his inheritance. The theme never changes. The people of the Old Testament are the same peoples of the New Testament, Israelites. We are his inheritance by his choice of our ancestors in his own mind, by the redemption of them out of Egypt, by the peculiar laws he gave them, and by the special blessings he conferred upon them. Nowhere in all of Scripture did he change his mind and separate any other races or people unto him. 1 Kings 11:6, And Solomon did evil in the sight of Yahweh, and went not fully after Yahweh, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And Yahweh was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from Yahweh God of Yisrael, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which Yahweh commanded. Yahweh is not the God of the Moabites or the Ammonites or the other races. He is the God of Israel. When we mingle with the other races, they turn us away from Yahweh, and the children begat by this are strange hybrids. Yahweh put his spirit, his DNA, into the race of Adam. He did not do so with anyone else. He is our God, and we are his people. When someone from what was once termed a heathen culture wants to join up with contrasting Christian culture, according to the Bible teaching, the two cannot be combined or merged. There can never be any accommodation of the occult into the truth of the gospel. This is the matter Elijah illustrated upon Mount Carmel. 1 Kings 18:21, And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt you between two opinions? If Yahweh be Elohim, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Should Christian schools be culturally sensitive? It was the foreign culture mixture which denied the prophets of Baal the power of God. In allowing and yielding to Baal, they were giving legal authority for the occult powers to operate within them. Elijah was free of this, and the fire of God fell when Elijah the prophet came near and said, Yahweh God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel. This Israel limitation is consistent through Scripture. Example, he showed his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He has not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Baal religion does not express this limitation, and it accommodates all races. Just as Catholicism and all the denominations of churchianity. Can you now see how religion is Baal worship, and that our people in the churches are disciples of Baal? Without realizing it, most Christians are attempting to conform to this world and to the ideals of the Babylonian world governments. Romans 12:2, And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What value could there be in renewing the mind of children with alien culture? This is straight disobedience or ignorance. When America was founded, our schools taught Scripture with the Holy Bible, the Ten Commandments, prayer was normal, and our history and heritage were taught. Fast forward to the 50s and 60s, where racial segregation was eliminated. What happened? The Bible, prayer, and the Ten Commandments were removed. Why?
Because it promotes sexism, sex, violence, genocide, slavery, rape, bestiality, and examples of eating children, and other inappropriate content.
The Bible caused religious trauma syndrome. So, did our Christian American ancestors really feel this way about the Bible in school? Of course not. If you do a little research, you will find that the Jews are behind these claims and propaganda. They are the ones in office introducing and passing laws against God. They are the ones that force-integrated the other races into our schools. They introduced Common Core, critical race theory, and whiteness studies. They are replacing white history books with pornographic books, and drag queens now teach your children gender dysphoria and proper pronouns. They are removing our history and historical monuments and replacing them with satanic statues and George Floyd memorials. They've introduced many different cultures into our once exclusive Christian culture. Now our children are not growing up to be Christians. They are molded into little heathen that know not God. 1 Chronicles 16:13. O you seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is Yahweh our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be you mindful always of his covenant, the word which he had commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and has confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying,
Unto you will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance.
When you were but few, even a few, and strangers in it, and when they went from nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes. Man here, in verse 21, is Ish, meaning non-Adamic man. Verse 22,
Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm.
Mine anointed. Who was anointed? Isaac was dedicated on the altar to Yahweh by Abraham. Isaac became Yahweh's anointed, meaning consecrated. No other people or races were part of this offering, or connected to it in any way. A covenant is everlasting, especially one that Yahweh makes. But the churches try to add everybody else. It's not up to them to change Yahweh's will, and how dare they? There is only one anointed people, Jacob's children. Rejoice, that's us. Ezra 2:59, And these were they which went up from Telmela, Telharsa, Cherub, Adan, and Emer. But they could not show their father's house, and their seed, whether they were of Israel. The children of Deliah, and children of Tobiah, the children of Nekoda, 652. And the children of the priests, the children of Habiah, the children of Koz, the children of Barzillai, which took a wife of the daughters of Barzillai the Gileadite, and was called after their name. These sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but they were not found. Therefore were they, as polluted, put from the priesthood. When the remnant of the house of Judah returned from Babylonian captivity, the remnant were those of the children of Israel that were preserved because they accepted their punishment and returned to Yahweh and his laws. One of those laws was to cast out those that were not found in the genealogy of the priesthood of Israel. If you could not show you were of the lineage of Levi, then you were barred from the priesthood as defiled. Today, this would apply to the preachers. If you are not an Israelite called by God to preach, then you have no business in the pulpit. Ezra 4:1. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto Yahweh, God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them,
Let us build with you, for we seek your God, as you do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up here.
These are the Canaanites and Edomites that were placed in the land while Judah was in captivity in Babylon. This is recorded in 2 Kings 17:24. These are those Sepharvaim and people of those countries from Ezra 3:3,
Jews.
Since they were taught the laws of Moses, they considered themselves equal to the Israelites. But, verse 3, but Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, you have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto Yahweh God of Israel, as King Cyrus the king of Persia has commanded us. Nehemiah 2:20, then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build, but you have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem, in our family. Ezra 4:4. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah, and troubled them in the building, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose, all the days of Cyrus king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. The Israelites were fresh out of captivity, and already those cursed seed, Canaanite and Edomite Jews, were trying to infiltrate. Just like here in America, founded by white Christian Israelite men and under God, and by the 1800s, the Jews came over and now have control. They brought the blacks over as slaves and opened our borders to Mexicans and everyone else. Our society is nowhere near Christian anymore. We did not stay separate. Benjamin Franklin was one of many that warned us.
I warn you, gentlemen, if you do not exclude the Jew forever, your children's children will curse you in your grave. Their ideas are not those of Americans. The leopard cannot change his spots. The Jews are a danger to this land, and if they are allowed to enter, they will imperil its institutions. They should be excluded by the Constitution.
Ezra 6:21. And the children of Israel, which were come again out of captivity, and all such as had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the nations of the land, to seek Yahweh God of Israel, did eat, and kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. For Yahweh had made them joyful, and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them, to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Yisrael. How many of you keep the feast days and other observances which we are still to practice? These are memorials, and we are blessed when we observe them. The Feast of Unleavened Bread in April, the Feast of Booths and the Day of Atonement in September, and truly observing the Shabbat days. Studying to show thyself approved and calling on the name of God, Yahweh. Nobody that goes to the churches do any of this. They are just paid up, prayed up, and waiting to go up. They have not separated themselves from the filthiness of the aliens in our land and in the churches to seek the one true God of the Bible. They seek personal salvation.
Oh, I'm saved.
Jewish Jesus who loves everybody. And they keep the Feast of Bacon 365 days with joy.
Yay!
Ezra 9:1. Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, the people of Yisrael, and the priests, and the Levites, have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Ammonites, Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves, and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers have been chief in this trespass. The princes and rulers are supposed to be an example. The churches never read these chapters because these are plain rebukes of race mixing. We must be separate from the other races. Every white empire from the days of Nimrod until America started out under law and racial segregation. The Canaanite and Edomite Jews always sneak in and corrupt the society with their race-mixing propaganda and cries for diversity and fraternity. Every empire in history fell because of fiat currency, open homosexuality, and multiculturalism. Race mixing used to be a crime in early America. Now it's a crime not to race mix. Verse 3. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle, and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard, and sat down astonished. Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of the God of Yisrael, because of the transgression of those that had been carried away, and I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. Ezra was astonished at the magnitude of race-mixing among his people. Verse 5. And at the evening sacrifice I arose from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto Yahweh my God, and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to you, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. White people are known to blush. The definition of Adam, H120 Adam, includes the verb to blush, turn rosy, show blood in the face. Verse 7. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day, and for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. The phrase confusion of face, in the context, is the abomination of race mixing, which, when one race mixes, the offspring is not the familiar face, hence mixed, polluted, a broken cistern. Verse 8, And now, for a little space, grace has been shown from Yahweh our God, to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes, and give us a little reviving in our bondage. A nail in his holy place is a leader who will bring stability to his people. Verse 10, And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken your commandments, which you have commanded by your servants the prophets, saying,
The land unto which you go to possess it is an unclean land with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations, which have filled it from one end to another by their uncleanness. Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that you may be strong and eat the good of the land, and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever.
This still applies today, hence forever. We are not to seek the peace or wealth or flesh of the other races forever. But the churches teach the opposite, to accept them, mix with them, share the holy things with them. Verse 13, And after all that is come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that you, our God, has punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and have given us such deliverance as this. Deliverance from Babylonian captivity and a fresh start in a rebuilt Jerusalem. Verse 14. Should we again break your commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Would not you be angry with us till you have consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? The Septuagint reads, Whereas we have repeatedly broken your commandments and intermarried with the people of the lands, be not very angry with us to our utter destruction, so that there should be no remnant or escaping one. O Yahweh, God of Yisrael, you are righteous, for we remain yet escaped, as it is this day. Behold, we are before you in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before you because of this. Ezra 10:2. And Shechaniah the son of Jehiel, of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, We have trespassed against our God, and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. They were acknowledging their error, confessing, repenting, and doing something about it. Verse 3. Now therefore let us make a covenant with our God, to put away all the wives, and such as are born of them, according to the counsel of my master, and of those that tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. Arise, for this matter belongs unto you. We also will be with you. Be of good courage, and do it. Our bodies are his temple. His spirit, his DNA, was breathed into the race of Adam. We are holy and pure, and he demands we stay that way, kind after kind. When we race mix, we create broken cisterns, vessels that cannot hold water, the spirit, the pure genetic DNA. Verse 5. Then arose Ezra, and made the chief priests, the Levites, and all Israel, to swear that they should do according to this word, and they swear.
Okay!
They swore to cast out these strange people. Many were in their own families. Verse 7. And they made proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem unto all the children of the captivity, that they should gather themselves unto Jerusalem, and that whosoever would not come within 3 days, according to the counsel of the princes and the elders, all his substance should be forfeited, and himself separated from the congregation of those of the captivity. Show up, or ship out, with these mixed peoples. Verse 9. Then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together unto Jerusalem within 3 days, and it was the 9th month, on the 20th day of the month, and all the people sat in the street of the house of God, trembling because of this matter, and for the great rain. The Septuagint reads, Because of their alarm concerning the word, and because of the storm. The storm, possibly the wrath. It was a rainy time, so the symbolism is even greater. Wash yourselves, people, wash. Verse 10. And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, You have transgressed, and taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Yisrael. Now therefore make confession unto Yahweh God of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land, and from the strange wives. Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice,
Yes!
As you have said, so must we do. But the people are many, and it is a time of much rain, and we are not able to stand outside. Neither is this a work of 1 day or 2. For we are many that have transgressed in this thing. It's going to take some time to sort this out. Verse 14. Let now our rulers of all the congregation stand, and let all them which have taken strange wives in our cities come at the appointed times, and with them the elders of every city, and the judges thereof, until the fierce wrath of our God for this matter be turned from us. Only Jonathan the son of Asahel, and Jahaziah the son of Tikvah, were employed about this matter, and Meshulam, and Shabbethai the Levite helped them. A 4-man committee. They checked the genealogies and set up appointed times to ship them out. Deportation. Verse 16. And the children of the captivity did so, and Ezra the priest, with certain chief of the fathers, after the house of their fathers, and all of them by their names, were separated, and sat down in the 1st day of the 10th month to examine the matter. It took the four men 10 days to put together a documented list. Verse 17, And they made an end with all the men that had taken strange wives by the first day of the first month. And the sons of the priests there were found that had taken strange wives, namely of the sons of Jeshua, the son of Josedech, and his brethren, Maaseiah, and Eleazar, and Jarib, and Gedaliah. All these had taken strange wives, and some of them had wives by whom they had children. This was probably a hard thing to do, to cast out your wife and child. But if your wife is not of your kinsmen, then you are race-mixing. You are committing abomination in God's eyes. Ezra teaches one of the main messages of the Bible, that we are a family, a race of holy people. We belong to Yahweh and have a purpose and a destiny. We cannot get there if we disobey and pollute ourselves with the other races. Our heritage, DNA, and God is not theirs, and their heritage, DNA, and gods are not ours. We are not supporting hatred and violence, rather, biblical segregation. Yahweh will sort us all out when He returns. Don't let Him find you with them when He does. Nehemiah 7:5, And my God put into my heart to gather together the nobles, and the rulers, and the people, that they might be reckoned by genealogy. And I found a register of the genealogy of them which came up at the first, and found written therein, These are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity, of those that had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon had carried away, and came again to Jerusalem and to Judah, every one unto his city. Verses 7 through 60 lists the names in the genealogy of Israel. These next verses were those whose genealogy was not found, and were considered polluted or mixed. Verse 61, And these were they which went up also from Tel-Melah, Tel-Haresha, Cherub, Adon, and Emer, but they could not show their father's house, nor their seed, whether they were of Israel. These sought their register among those who were reckoned by genealogy, but it was not found. Therefore were they, as polluted, put from the priesthood. And the Tirshatha said unto them, that they should not eat of the most holy things, till there stood up a priest with the Urim and Thummim, meaning light and truth. The high priest would wear the breastplate of the Urim and Thummim. Numbers 27:21.
And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before Yahweh. At his word shall they go out, and at his word shall they come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation.
The Urim and Thummim was used by the priest to ask Yahweh for guidance. It has been said that the 12 stones on the breastplate, representing the 12 tribes, would glow and guide the priest in decisions. Nehemiah 9:2, And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers, and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. The churches obviously support interracial marriage and homosexuality by their toleration and admittance and marrying of them. This is not obeying Yahweh. Romans 1:28, And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Do the churches have pleasure in interracial marriage? Nehemiah 10:28, And the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding, they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moshe, the servant of God, and to observe and to do all the commandments of Yahweh, our Master, and his judgments and his statutes, and that we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. Yahweh demands we remain separate from the other peoples and races. If Jesus changed the Father's laws, where does it say we may now give our daughters to the other races and take their daughters for our sons? Nehemiah 13:1. On that day when they read in the book of Moshe, in the audience of the people, and therein was found written, that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Yisrael with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Yisrael all the mixed multitude. The Ammonites and Moabites were children of incest by Lot and his daughters. So are any survivors of them today now allowed into the congregation or marriage with us? God's promises and covenants were made to the children of Israel, not to the other races, not to the Ammonites and Moabites, not to the Jews, and not to the church. Yahweh demands we remain separate from these peoples. Verse 23. In those days also saw I Judahites that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab, and their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Judahites' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, You shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons or for yourselves. In other words, do not race mix. Did not Solomon, king of Yisrael, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Yisrael. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives? Why do the churches support this? They marry gays and mixed races. Verse 28. And one of the sons of Joiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat, the Horonite. Therefore I chased him from me. Remember them, O my God, because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. Thus cleansed I them from all strangers, and appointed the wards of the priests and the Levites, every one in his business, and for the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruits. Remember me, O my God, for good. Nehemiah and Ezra cleaned house. They rebuilt the walls, city, and temple. They reinstituted the law, statutes, ordinances, judgments, and commandments. They cast out the mixed races, and restored the glory of the children of Israel. Tobit 4:12.
Beware of all whoredom, my son, and chiefly take a wife of the seed of your fathers, and take not a strange woman to wife, which is not of your father's tribe. For we are the children of the prophets, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember, my son, that our fathers from the beginning, even that they all married wives of their own kindred, and were blessed in their children, and their seed shall inherit the land. Now therefore, my son, love your brethren, and despise not in your heart your brethren, the sons and daughters of your people, in not taking a wife of them. For in pride is destruction, and much trouble, and in lewdness is decay and great want, for lewdness is the mother of famine.
Today, Tobit would be called racist. Psalm 83:1. Keep not you silence, O God, hold not your peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, your hated enemies make a tumult, and they that hate you lift up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people, and conspired against your hidden ones. They have said,
Come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance.
For they have conspired together with one consent, they are confederate against you. The tabernacles of Edom, and the Ishmaelites, of Moab, and the Hagarenes, Gebal, and Ammon, and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher also is joined with them, they have helped the children of Lot. Do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Sisera, as to Jabin at the brook of Kishon, which perished at Endor, they became as dung for the ground. Dung for the ground refers to bodies left on the ground. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb, yea, all their princes as Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, Let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. O my God, make them like a whirl, as the stubble before the wind, as the fire burns a wood, and as the flame sets the mountains on fire, so persecute them with your tempest, and make them afraid with your storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek your name, O Yahweh. Let them be put to shame and troubled forever. Yea, let them be disgraced and destroyed, that men may know that you, whose name alone is Yahweh, are the Most High over all the earth. This psalm is an imprecatory prayer against the hated enemies of the children of Israel, and that's racist. Psalm 106:34. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom Yahweh commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. Mingled is H6148, Arab, and means to intermix, meddle with, have fellowship with, share. Verse 36, And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils,
Planned Parenthood,
and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus they were defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of Yahweh kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. And he gave them into the hand of the heathen nations, and they that hated them ruled over them. Their hated enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. This happens to us when we disobey and go a-whoring, which proves we are his people. As a father chastises his son, we are humbled when we are given into the hands of our enemies. Verse 43, Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their plotting, and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and he remembered for them his covenant, and had pity according to the multitude of his mercies. He had made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captives. Save us, O Yahweh our God, and gather us from among the heathen nations, to give thanks unto your holy name, and to triumph in your praise. Blessed be Yahweh God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, Amen. Praise you, Yahweh. Our ancestors polluted the holy seed by race-mixing with the Canaanites. The Canaanites had many different gods, and child sacrifice was common to all of them. Rampant sexual conduct always follows idolatry, which results in the birth of half-breed children, thus polluting the holy seed of Israel with Canaanite blood. This mixed multitude still exists today, and Yahweh uses them to afflict us when we are sinning against Him. Psalm 144:7. Send your hand from above, rid me, and deliver me out of great waters, from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaks vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Great waters is a reference to people, a great multitude of racially foreign people. America and the white nations today are flooded with strange children, and every media outlet, church, and social propaganda influences us to mingle with them, saying there is strength in diversity. But Scripture does not agree with the churches, the world system, and communist agendas. Their oath for universalism is an oath of iniquity and falsehood. Psalm 144:11. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaks vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the pattern of a palace, that our granaries may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is Yahweh. We are happy and blessed when we remain separate. America was once happy, before the Jews gained power and opened the floodgates to all the other races. Now our society caters to the other races, while white people are labeled as oppressors and bigots. This is why Yahweh commanded that we
gotta keep separated.
Be you holy, for I am holy.